Thought Bubble Audio.
Hello and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always,
Tim. You're not Tim.
I'm
Dan.
I'm not
Dan.
But
you're not. No.
How did you know?
You don't have glasses. You don't look anything like him.
I got contacts.
All right. Yeah. Never mind. All right.
Can I finish?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, cool. Sorry, yeah.
Hey. So with me, as always, is my founding father, friend Frank.
Oh.
See, I'm Tim.
Yeah. No, I know you're not Tim. He wouldn't. No.
All right. That's right. I'm not Tim, the Catholic baritone voice you're used to. I'm Dan, the raspy voiced Jew.
Look up in the sky.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
What does the English teacher do without his co-host when he's not at home being the show host? Welcome back to Beer with Geeks, the show where we geek out with beer, except this time there is a host we are without. He's off in Europe, chaperone in school vacation, says podcast must go on. I just say, okay, Tim, I'm looking for a nerd or two to come and join the show. It's gonna take a pair of geeks to fill his shoes, you know? You've met them both before if you've been listening long. They're here to join me for a little podcast sing-along. And now it's time to raise a glass and talk Hamilton. You simply must hear Dan and Damon. Yeah, hi guys.
That was beautiful.
Much better than anything we had planned.
No, I don't think so. That was just a thing. Hi guys.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing.
We're doing this.
Yeah,
we're casting the pods.
Where are you? We are casting
without Tim. We left a seat here for Elijah. I mean Tim.
That's a great Passover joke.
Thanks. I thought you'd like that.
I
yeah.
love it.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
You.
Cool.
Making my people feel welcome.
That's what I aim to do. Yeah. Yeah. The time has come. Tim is, as I said, off in Europe. He is
gallivanting.
He's gallivanting around Europe, doing his teacher duties on April vacation, but. We wanted to still get guys together and talk about Hamilton. It's been, I think, overdue. It's about time. But first, Dan, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Harpoon Camp Wanamango.
Nice.
It's a delicious beer. I love it. It's perfect for spring, summer season. And in Boston, it's been amazing weather this weekend. So I needed to open one up.
Nice. Love it. Damon, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking, for the first time, Loose Cannon. It's a hoppy IPA. It's delicious. It's from Clipper City Brewing down in Baltimore.
Nice. I've tried that one. I like that. I like it a lot.
It's very good.
I like the Wanamango, too, for that matter.
Yeah.
And I am drinking the Harpoon Citra C IPA. It's like citrusy, but Citra C.
I see what you did there.
They made a joke. Okay. It's a limited edition hoppy sunny IPA with Citra hops and grapefruit peel. And I don't usually love grapefruit, but I'm enjoying this one anyway.
Yeah, it was good when I tried it by accident. It was delicious.
That's right. You stole a sip, but that's all right. So I guess we should start this like we usually start our various podcasts about, you know, media that we've consumed. But do you guys remember your first experience with Hamilton? Damon, do you remember like the first, you know, how you first came upon it or how you heard about it?
So it was probably fall 2015-ish, shortly after the show had hit Broadway.
Yeah.
I think it came out early in 2015. I had a friend who usually turns me on to new Broadway shows, and he said, you have to listen to this. He's also a very big Lin-Manuel Miranda fan.
Gotcha.
He had turned me on to In the Heights previously.
Oh, so, okay.
I had some exposure to Miranda, and he said, oh, it's new, it's better, it's uncut, you know, that kind of thing. So listened to it. It took me a couple listens to get into it. I wasn't sure about the history versus the hip-hop kind of thing, as so many people were. But, you know, once I fell into it, I got hooked hard.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Dan, do you remember your first experience?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. You go back. Yeah.
Yeah. So Lynn went to college with my brother over at Wesleyan University. Go Cardinals.
Nice.
So I've known Lynn for, well, not known him, but I've known of his work for over like 10 years.
Yeah.
So big fan of the guy. I followed his career in the Heights, like Damon said. And then the same friend that Damon heard about Hamilton, he was living with me. And so he had that recording of him at Lynn in Washington, D.C. at the White House.
Oh, sure.
Right. So that was like the first song that he wrote, and he performed it right after he wrote it. And he said, Dan, come on in here, because we're both huge fans of Lynn. And I watched it and I was like, my hero Lynn is making a rap musical about the founding fathers. I love every part of this because I'm a huge rap fan, huge Lynn fan, and I love the American Revolutionary War. It's my favorite part of history. Mm. So I'm like, this is going to be my musical. So excited. I'm going to follow the whole process and did. And I'm a little angry that it was so popular.
I know that.
I'm like, this is going to be it. This is going to be the Dan musical.
Right,
and
right.
Now it's just everyone's.
It's just America's musical.
But I mean, it did make it all the more special.
Sure.
How amazing it came out to be.
So you really saw the arc of this show, like really taking off and to where it is today.
Yeah. So I've been following Lynn on Twitter, you know, for 8 years or whatever. And so I remember as he was writing the musical, he'd have cool quotes written down through the tweets, and he would like, you know, tell us specific lines he's writing, and he's like reading the Alexander Hamilton book and like putting down cool little tidbits. So I remember that. It was really neat.
The Ron Chernow,
yes,
book. Yep. Yeah. I would like to read that book, and I love history, but 832 pages is just intimidating.
Don't do it.
Yeah. It's intimidating. It's intimidating. But, my first exposure was probably around the same time as yours, Damon's, when it hit Broadway and started to really gain traction, and like started seeing all my friends, like, on Spotify, all talking about, like, all listening to whatever this Hamilton thing was. And I was sort of like, what? It's trending on Twitter. It's people listening to us. But what is this Hamilton thing? Is this like a new Kanye album or what? What is it? Seriously, that was like, I was like, this is obviously like a rap thing. I could, okay. And I'm not into hip hop. I'm not into rap. So I was like, I don't think this is for me. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't familiar with In the Heights. I knew of In the Heights, and I knew the name Lin-Manuel Miranda, but I hadn't listened to it. So I didn't really know what he was about. I knew it was a show about the founding fathers that was a rap based show. And I was sort of like, this is just, I don't think it's going to be for me, which is fine. That's fine. And it just was, you know, getting more and more popular and people talking more and more about it. And I was like, it's a real bummer that this thing is getting so popular and I'm not going to like it. Like I decided I wasn't going to like it. And as time went on, I started, you know, it got more and more popular, people talking more and more about it. And
couldn't avoid it.
It was a phenomenon, right? It still is.
Yeah.
And all the stories about the, you know, $500 tickets and people waiting to get in and then ham for ham and all the, you know, lottery stuff. So I still just didn't really have much interest in it. And then actually I was hanging out with Tim and he played a couple of tracks. We were on a road trip, and he played a couple of tracks, and I was like, oh, what is this? He was like, oh, this is Hamilton. And I was like, but that's not rap. He's like I remember the first thing was You'll Be Back was the first thing I heard.
Sure.
And that's like right up my alley. He played it intentionally because he was like, you're going to like this. And I was like, wait, who's he? Is that this King George? Yeah. Who's he singing to? I don't get it. Like, why is he talking about killing someone's family? He's like, he's singing to the colonies. And I was like, okay, all right. And like he played a couple other tracks and he was like, yeah, it's like they use them, like the rap is like the revolutionaries using it, and like the king is like singing like older Broadway stuff, and then like later on when Thomas Jefferson comes back from France, he's still singing jazz while the rest of them are like all this. I was like, okay, that's kind of clever. I could maybe look past the fact that I don't like rap and try this a little bit. And I still fought it for a while, but I've still only listened to the whole thing through a handful of times, but I've really come to enjoy it. So do you guys have, so let's start off with like Dan, do you have a favorite song?
Yeah. So a handful of months ago, I tried to make a top five list, which grew into like a top eight list. It was really hard.
Turned
to
into a top 46 list.
Yeah, exactly. It's so hard to figure that out. So what I'm settling on is Skylar Sisters.
Ooh, that's good.
See, when I bought the CD, I listened to the first five songs. I stopped. I kept listening to the first five songs and just kept doing it. And I'm obsessive about that. Like, I can just get into half of a CD or like a few songs, just listen to those over and over again. So for like a week, I was just listening to My Shot in the intro and nice. Skylar Sisters and repeating. And then I said to myself, you know what, after the week, maybe I should listen to the whole musical. But Skylar Sisters was the first song that really hit me, because it's so different from the previous like three or four first songs. It's about, you know, like feminism, and like it's like a Destiny's Child song, and
yeah,
Burr is awesome. Like that part is fantastic. I love singing it. So it really struck me of like, this is really cool, and I'm gonna listen to it 20 times in a row. So that's probably the one that's closest to my heart.
Nice. Yeah.
I still don't think Dan's listened to the second act yet.
No. I didn't even know Thomas Jefferson was in this music.
Did I just spoil it for you?
You did.
Sorry.
Spoiler alert.
What, Damon, do you have a favorite track? I'm sorry, as you take a sip of beer, I turn to you.
No problem.
Sorry, my bad.
So
bad radio.
I like Dan, tried to narrow it down. If I had to pick one song from this album, it would have to be The Room Where It Happens.
Oh, nice.
I am so in love with this song. No one else was in the room where it happened, the room where it happened, the room where it happened. No one else was in the room where it happened, the room where it happened, the room where it happened. No one really knows how the game is played, the art of the trade, how the sausage gets made. Just the jazzy and the rat-a-tat. And
yeah.
It, just like any show, like Mr. Bojangles or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
It just, it's always stuck with me. It's got a different style than the rest of the album, kind of breaks up a little bit. I just love it. And Aaron Burr is so good.
He's so good.
Leslie's so good. The best.
Well, I think Leslie Odom is like kind of the breakout star of the show, you know? Yeah. And he's one of the relatively few who I think has name recognition outside of like people who are either Hamilton fans or just Broadway fans, you know, because now he's like on those Nationwide commercials and like he's touring on his own, like doing concerts of his own. So he's one of those like Broadway people who's broken out a little bit.
Sure.
And I think it's only a matter of time till we see him in movies. He's super, super talented. I got to see him a few months back in November where I was attending a marketing conference, and he was like the entertainment for the evening and he came out or he was part of like, they did had a bunch of people come out. And
no one cared about any of the other people.
I mean, I was super excited for him. He only performed for like 15 minutes. He did Room Where It Happened, Dear Theodosia, and then a different song, not from Hamilton. That I'm blanking on right now, but it was just phenomenal. Like, his voice is just so,
it's butter.
He's effortless. Yeah.
It's so smooth. Yeah. Amazing.
He really deserved the Tony.
I was
glad that he got that.
Yeah.
And I think you might see him in movies, but I think what he really wants is just to keep getting Broadway
roles
and doing his own music stuff. You'll probably see David Diggs doing more of the TV.
Yeah.
He's already writing. He's already on Blackish.
He's on Blackish, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he's also he's probably my favorite like person when it comes to the show. He's great.
He is pretty cool. I mean, he's very versatile, David Diggs.
He's like, so talented.
I saw him on James Corden a few months ago, and he's like, you know, he does his own music, and it's like very different than anything Hamilton. But he's still able to do like, to sing like What Did I Miss, which is my favorite song right now. So what did I miss? What did I miss?
Virginia, my home sweet home, I want to give you a kiss. I've been in Paris meeting lots of different ladies. I guess I basically missed the late 80s. I traveled the wide, wide world and came back to this.
So, and that song's kind of like, it crosses genres all over the place. It's very jazzy, obviously, yep. But then when he's actually like talking to James Madison, it's a little more like typical Broadway show tune.
When it comes to what did I miss, it took me months to figure out the whole jazz part.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, why is Jefferson singing like it's jazz?
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, he hasn't been in America where rap has been like the right. new language.
He basically missed the late 80s.
Right. There you go. Very nice. Yeah. Awesome. Deep dive. But yeah, my mind blew up when I realized, and I felt like a moron because it took me a couple of months. But
oh, there were a lot of things that I felt like an idiot until. Did you guys watch the PBS special?
Yes.
Like the master, not masterpiece. I don't remember what it is. But they. I remember like a year or two ago, Twitter lighting up one day because it was like, oh, PBS is filming Hamilton tonight for a special that they're going to show next year, and like everyone just assumed like, oh, they're going to do the whole show, like they're just going to air the whole show. And then it turned out they showed like three clips from the show as part of like a documentary about the making of the show, which was great. But I'm like secretly still hoping that they like release that at some point, like cause they filmed the whole show. So like, I would hope that at some point that
eventually they'll be asking for money. And
I mean, right. Yeah,
I don't know if they didn't do a film adaptation of it.
Right.
So, and Lynn kind of promised us and then he kind of went back on it. So it's never happened. I think they might do like a Rent thing.
Yeah.
Where 10 years after maybe. They might go back and do it. But at that point, you know, I mean, Leslie and David and Lynn, they're all going to be really busy.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping it happens.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do that until people stop buying the tickets.
Oh, sure.
At that price.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just not lucrative.
No, of course not. Of course not.
So yeah. I think in 10 years, that's what's going to happen.
I agree with you. And I'm just glad that there exists a historical record of like the original cast doing it on Broadway. Like I'm glad that exists. And I hope that people get to like experience that at some point in the future. Cause it is like, you know, it's one of those relatively rare Broadway things that becomes a phenomenon outside of like coastal people, like city people. Yeah. Like it's a nationwide phenomenon. People everywhere are crazy about it. I mean, there is a podcast called Pod for Ham where they just go, they did a limited run podcast where they do one episode on each song, like do the whole soundtrack and then they were done.
It's such an accessible piece of art. I mean,
yeah.
I've met so many, my parents like it. You know, I met like a 12-year-old at Passover Seder that did Guns and Ships as a Passover song that she wrote herself in 20 minutes. You know, so you see things like that, that's like this beautiful piece of art coming from that small, talented person.
That's amazing.
You know, whoever I meet, I would say like 80% definitely know it, but really enjoy it. And we're all different types of people. If you like history, you're going to love it. If you like rap, hip hop, R&B, you're going to love it. If you like musical theater, you're going to love it. Theater in general, it's incredible. We're really lucky that it exists.
Yeah, exactly. And like we're lucky that it came out like while we're around, and we get to like witness this sort of once in a generation type of like, when was the last time something was this big? Rent, maybe?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, probably.
Phantom's been around forever. Before that, Les Mis. Like, it's...
Right. Rent's the closest.
Maybe
Rent's the
Wicked. Closest.
Oh, yeah, it's
Wicked.
True. Wicked.
Sure. Wicked was a big phenomenon.
You're right. Wicked, yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just really starting to have young people and a whole swath of different people fall in love with theater, musical theater. It's getting people back into the seats.
Yeah.
And to go out and do community. I mean, imagine community theater in 10 years, once we can buy the rights, like little community theaters doing that.
Right, right.
It's going to be an incredible thing, that whole generation going to auditions and being involved in theater. As a theater kid, I can't wait for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, imagine when they do like the... what are they, like the junior versions or whatever that take out all the swearing and everything. Yeah. And like your local high school is doing a production of it. Like that's when it's really like, you know, it goes down to the people, and like everyone can benefit from it and enjoy it.
And just all the little Lynns that are being, you know, inspired to go out and to write, like, oh, he's like me. I'm from Brooklyn, you know, and let me write this idea that I thought of. I mean, that's, I think, what Lynn really loves about his success and their education programs that he's been doing through Hamilton, where I think New York Public Schools gets free tickets. They go once every couple of months for free, a different set of kids each time. They have workshops that they go in with the cast members, and they perform for the cast members, and then they watch the show that night. And I mean, it's just really cool to see that kind of, we know people are going to be inspired by this. And I can't wait in the next 10 to 20 years what that's going to make.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's really cool to think of like what this will, just as Lynn was inspired by like Sondheim and everybody before him, you know, this will inspire a whole new generation. And I think that's something that really, he must realize it at this point, but it must be crazy to be, I mean, how old is he? He's not 40, right?
No.
He's very close.
He's in his late 30s. And to already be like one of those names that he's like, he's on the Mount Rushmore of Broadway greats now, you know?
Absolutely. He's the Shakespeare of our time. And people say that, but I believe it. I really think he is.
It's all the people who think he wrote Hamlet.
Yay, Hamlet.
Maybe he'll take on Hamlet next.
Maybe, yeah. I would love, and that's a real story, the Hamlet thing, where like some woman was like, hey, you wrote Hamlet. No, Hamilton. I wish you wrote Hamlet. Yay, Hamlet.
No, please. No.
She drives off. I wonder what he's working on next. I got to think that he's always like writing the next thing, like just like he was working on Hamilton while In the Heights was having its time in the sun. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's already working on the next thing, and he's doing lots of different projects. He did Moana. He's doing
Mary Poppins now. That's why he's in England.
That's right.
He's going to be the Dick Van Dyke role in Mary Poppins. I'm not sure what he's working on musically now. I don't know if there's a full-fledged musical he's working on, because he has so many projects he's juggling.
He's got ideas.
But that's it. He's got to have
something.
He's
got to
have ideas.
He's always thinking. He is like Hamilton.
Right.
He's always thinking and writing things down.
And I'm sure, how many ideas of his do you think we'll never see the light of day that are just like little ideas he scribbles down and like he never comes back to, but like writes one song or two songs and it's not enough to be a whole show, but like
that people would appreciate it.
People might
throw it on YouTube, dude,
right?
You know,
just use
other outlets.
Oh, love that.
That would be great.
We talked about Leslie Odom. We talked about David Days. I think one of my personal favorites is Chris Jackson.
Yes. Mm.
Love his George Washington. Love, love, love it. I would love to play that role, like in a community theater.
You're my Washington.
I would love that. Yeah. It's like, I love his style. I love, I love George Washington, the man, like as a historical figure. I think he doesn't get talked about too much, but he did win a Tony, didn't he, for that role?
He won supporting. Yeah.
Supporting, yeah. And much deserved, I think. I mean, not having seen the show, but just from what we all know of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Now, the three of us, Dan, you're the only one who's actually seen the show.
Correct.
Which is where I'm very jealous. But hopefully next year when it comes to Boston, or 2018 or 2019?
18.
18? Okay. Yeah. So next year, I am hopeful that I will be able to rectify that. Which cast did you see?
So I saw the original cast except Jonathan Groff.
Okay.
He left like a week or so, which was, I mean, it was still amazing to be in the room where it happens. But it's just like the CD. I mean, I listened to that CD 1,000 times. You might get like little note changes and like little different inflections.
Yeah.
And there weren't any transitions. Like, the CD is the show. So I could just focus on looking at the choreography, which was great, you know, as an actor, that's equally as cool to watch in a show. But it was just amazing to just be there. I actually got to meet my favorite cast member. I don't know if I ever told Frank this.
I don't think so.
So my friend Todd and I, we went to see the show. We paid $435 for a seat each. Totally worth it, worth every penny. But I was on my way out. Todd and I wanted to see kind of the stage. So we went down to the stage, and then we turned around to go towards the side doors. This guy brushes by me with a little backpack and a big fro, and I thought to myself, what guy is going to Hamilton wearing a backpack? Like, you go in like a suit. You're not walking in from class. So I'm like, this is a cast member. And then I looked at his hair and I said, this is David Diggs.
Oh my God.
And I just stood there. I'm like, what do I do? And I watched him walk by me. He then turned around and just went right up to him. And I said, David, thank you. You know, as an actor, you say, like, thank you for your art. You don't say you're a big fan. You say, thank you for what you've given me as an audience member. And I put my fist up for a fist bump, and he bumped my fist and said, thanks, man. And it was the day before Passover. It was actually 1 year ago today. And I said, hey, man, happy Passover. And I bumped his chest a little bit, and I just turned around and walked away. Like
amazing.
A total boss. I was just like, that's it. I'm not going to ask for a picture.
Sure.
I'm going to thank him for his art. I'm going to say, hey, man, we're both Jewish. You're the best. Happy Passover. And I left.
And that's, I think you did the right thing.
That was
the perfect amount of interaction. Yeah. You told him you appreciated it.
Yep. Totally.
You didn't hound him for evidence that you met. You had the story. It's great.
You have the story. You have the memory.
I was so happy with that. Yeah.
Now, Dan, I'm a little curious. Can you just talk about the set a little bit? Because that's not something that people really get to experience unless they've actually seen it.
True.
So something that you don't really know is at the center, there is a huge circle and they rotate. Mm-hmm. And they use that a lot for the duels. Like you'll see, let's say Lauren's is standing downstage, you'll have the person he's about to shoot upstage, and then they'll be turning around, and the floor will start to move and rotate like two vinyls. You know, I'm forgetting the term for it.
The turntable?
The turntables, right. So it's two turntables, and so it spins around, so they're not moving at all, but they're turning, you know, because of the movement, and it'll stop, and they make their shot. So that's really cool. There's one cast member called the Bullet who dresses in all white, and she's the bullet that, you know, gets shot out of Burr's gun.
Right.
And shoots Hamilton. So halfway, like for half of the whole song, she's being carried by other cast members towards Hamilton. And when she gets to him, he's dead.
Right.
So that's something you never see, you know, clearly, because you're just listening to the music.
Right.
So that was all really cool. And just helpless and satisfied back to back. And you see the whole song being played out in Satisfied, right? That's the first one. And then you see the blocking absolutely the same from a different perspective. And you get to see that in person. I was ready to see that in person. And I made sure to really focus on each character and see if the timing did work out, you know, because in TV and film like that never happens in real time. And it worked.
Wow.
It's incredible.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool. Yeah. That's gotta be one of the most interesting things in the whole show. One of the most interesting moments to witness, like to watch the same scene play out from the two different perspectives.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I think I would most like to, you know, to see. So favorite moments, favorite sort of miscellaneous things. I know we've all sort of like, you know, thought about it over the last couple of days to decide we were going to do this. Any like bits and pieces, odds and sods? Damon, do you have any?
So you mentioned Chris Jackson's your favorite.
Yeah.
He starred in The Heights with Lin-Manuel. Mm-hmm. And the role of Washington was written specifically with Jackson in mind, which I think just adds all the more because he knew he could pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just think that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so cool. When Lin did Drunk History for Comedy Central, they at one point he calls Chris Jackson, you know, when he's like completely blastered. And he's just like, but, okay, goodbye. You're my best friend. Okay, bye. I love you. All right, bye.
So he was doing a West Wing quote, actually, to, to Chris Jackson. Yeah. So as a huge West Wing fan and a huge Lin fan.
Oh, that's a double whammy.
That was so cool. And I forgot the exact quote. I should know it in my brain somewhere. But yeah, he was basically saying like, I remember it. As long as I get a job, you get a job.
Oh, yes.
That was
yes,
it.
Yes.
So he just kept mumbling, as long as I get a job, you got a job. which is a really pivotal West Wing quote. And it's the perfect thing, like Damon said, when it comes to their relationship.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so Chris played Benny, which was one of the larger roles in the Heights, next to Usnavi, which was Lynn's character. And yeah, he was writing Hamilton while he was still in the original Usnavi role in the Heights, and he kept Chris in the loop when it came to the writing. And like you said, Damon, he wrote it for him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really cool piece.
That is really cool. That's super cool. I love that. I kind of figured, but I didn't know for sure. So that's super cool. Any other bits and pieces? Odds and sods?
Yeah, so we actually touched on it when it came to the different styles that are in Hamilton musically.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just going to dive a little deeper into that. Like, I love those different pieces of music that he puts in because he does it for a reason. Like the King George songs,
yes,
it's in the style of the Beatles because it's the British invasion.
Right, right.
And that's so funny and so creative and so mind-blowing.
British breakup songs.
Yeah, exactly.
I will send a fully armed battalion to remind you of my love. Da-da-da-da-da.
That's why that's like my favorite, like one of my favorite songs from the show, because it's Beatles style and
right. Us white people, you know,
yeah,
we love it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing, like I said, like Skylar Sisters, it's like Destiny's Child. It's like a strong, independent, you know, women. And that's the he is, I believe, is a fan of Destiny's Child, mm-hmm, and specifically wrote it with that band in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came to the Jefferson and the jazz part, the thing that blew my mind, and like whenever it's different from the rap, hip-hop, R&B, there's a reason.
Yeah.
And also the little pieces that he puts in from the 90s rap, hip-hop, R&B,
yeah,
like Biggie's all over that.
Yeah.
So I mean, when I first heard those little bits like that, my heart just like fluttered. You know, because I love that stuff. Just a really neat experience of that first listen to the CD. And then, you know, I was discovering things a year later.
Yes.
You know, little bits of
it. Yeah. I mean, I think people will be uncovering little... There's lots of Broadway... Lots of little Broadway references. Like, tiny ones. Like, Nobody Needs to Know.
Yes.
At one point, they're like, you know, Sit Down, John, which is from 1776.
Yes.
You Have to Be Carefully Taught from South Pacific. Like, there's all these little, if you like Broadway, these little tiny Easter eggs, one-liners. Sometimes they actually mimic the tune of the song that he's referencing. Sometimes it's just the line, and if you know it, you know it, and if you don't, you don't. But There's a bunch of those, too.
Well, because Lynn's such a Broadway super fan. I mean, he grew up in New York City all his life. His parents just listened and played, like, vinyl and CDs and tapes of, you know, Carousel and Les Mis and just all the time. And he's got such an encyclopedic knowledge of all of it. And he uses that in all of his stuff.
Yeah.
Like, in Nonstop, you know, having every part, role kind of in there with all their little styles musically. It's like the intermission break of Les Mis. It's his One Day More, and it's totally an ode to Les Mis.
It's
one of his favorite musicals. I know this because I'm obsessed with the guy. But so some stuff like that's just really cool. And again, if you like Broadway, you don't have to like rap. If you like musicals, you're going to love the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I that was one of the first things I knew about him. Just when I kind of knew his name and knew he was attached to In the Heights, and that was kind of all I knew. I knew that he had this very, very like vast knowledge and love for classic Broadway. And that, you know, he was like the real deal when it came to like show tune people, Broadway people. He is definitely the real deal.
I think it's important to note, and I don't think this gets enough credit, but if he had done this show from the point of view from anyone else, I think it wouldn't be, it wouldn't have the same magic that it does. Mm. The fact that Burr is telling this whole story
yeah.
is such a creative decision. And I think it's very subtle. It gets overlooked, but I think it's so perfect in having Burr tell the story and not Hamilton.
No, it's a great point. And he's such a likable character, you know, and he's the antagonist.
Right.
But you love Burr and you understand him.
Yes.
And the reason why things happen. A lot of that wasn't his fault. He was just the politician.
Right.
He was just trying to get his. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, everyone in politics is like that.
That's what they're all doing.
He was the first real politician.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's historically accurate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, good point, Damon. When it comes to that, having him be the narrator, it's genius.
It's pivotal. It's pivotal to like the structure of the whole show.
Right.
And it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference in the world. Like, and sort of using the Shakespearean or even like Greek tragedy, sort of like the chorus comes in and tells you what's about to happen, and then we watch it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And like the acts are bracketed with that, where it's sort of like, you know, here's his story. Like, you know, he's an immigrant.
He, to the audience,
I'm going to catch you
this
up.
Is what's
exactly.
Up.
Yeah. Exactly. And then in Act Two, it's like 1789. All right. So here's what happened. Like now he's. Secretary of Treasury, and like all this stuff happened, and now we're about to meet Thomas Jefferson, who's going to really shake things up. All right, here we go. Like,
oh boy,
they just tell you like what's about to, and it's again from Burr's perspective. I love that. I absolutely love that.
That's great.
I also love that. And you kind of started to touch on this, Dan. I love the way that not only are there references to other shows that are woven throughout, but I love the use of little musical motifs that, mm-hmm. that stay throughout the show.
Yep.
It's not a musical motif, but I don't think Aaron Burr ever makes an appearance in a scene where they don't rhyme his name as many, like, you know, Mr. Burr, sir, you punch the Burr, sir, all these different, like, you know, sure. That's one thing that is throughout, like because he has such sort of a lyrical name, they make sure to do that. But even just the fact that, you know, when Hamilton introduces himself to Jefferson, it's
Mr. Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton.
Mr. Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton. Hamilton. Like, yeah. Any little things like that are really great. And when the Schuyler sisters reunite, you know, that even there, they sing their names the same way they did in their song. The fact that those tunes stick around and
they're
and
like markers out. Throughout the show.
Exactly. And they're attached to their characters. I absolutely love that. No, that's very cool. Broadway, you know, extremely like old Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Any final thoughts? Any last things you want to get out there before we close up shop?
I have a little story.
I love stories.
Go for it.
So this is my off Broadway story when it comes to trying to see Hamilton.
Okay.
It was over 2 years ago. Like I said, I just wanted to see this show a ton, even before the CD dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably 3 months before the CD came out. And I just bought a bus ticket to New York City alone for my February vacation because I'm a teacher. So I stayed in like a hostel down in Soho.
Oh, wow.
And a guy that I went to high school with is a public theater stagehand.
Gotcha.
So he knew that I was coming in to try to do the lotto, which wasn't the ham for ham that we know of it today.
Right.
When I did it twice, it was like me and 50 people. You just have 10 bucks on you.
Right.
And if they get picked, you get picked. And I think 5 or 6 people were picked each time. I went 0-for-2, but, you know, I got to be in, you know, the house. And I was in the Apple store at Soho. And this friend messaged me and says, hey, I've got a break. Are you around? I said, yeah. I said, come on to the theater. So I met up with him. Hadn't seen this guy for like 6 years, 7 years, 10 years since high school. I can't do the math. I'm old. 12 years, actually. Damn. And so he brought me in to the actual theater. He brought me onto the stage. And I walked around on the off-Broadway stage, went backstage. He took me all over the theater. So I may have lost out on the ticket, but I got that experience that I'll never have. So when it comes to doing that on the off-Broadway experience, meeting David on the Broadway, I'm totally happy. But like, I think to myself, what if I actually won the lotto and saw that show without hearing a single piece of music?
What an experience.
I would have... It would have been the best day of my life. Like, my brain would have exploded. I would have walked out and just thought, like, what happened?
What did I just see?
What is going on?
I can't even go home and listen to this on the way home.
Right. I have to wait a couple of months to hear. I mean, so I have that regret. But, I mean, clearly walking the stage, that was incredible.
That's amazing. Yeah. You had that experience. I mean, that's like nobody has that. No one can take that away from you. Like, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love that.
It was amazing.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Any other final thoughts?
I think that's it. We touched upon everything just that I wanted to say.
Yeah. Nice. I just love, I've always, I also love the Revolution. It's probably my favorite period in American history. Mm-hmm. But I also have always loved New York City history as a whole, like from beginning to end. Sure. And always, you know, knew of Hamilton and appreciated his story. I didn't know the intricacies of his personal life like I do now, but I knew about, you know, the room where it happened and the you know, selling New York City down the river, so to speak, and all of that, and the banks for Washington, D.C., and all that kind of stuff. And I knew about that, and I at first was kind of smug about, like, oh, sure, like, all you people who just, like, want to like your little show and, like, you don't know the real history, though. Like, I really like the history. And now I've so come around on that, and I'm glad that, you know, the stuff that I've been a fan of for a while is, like, the history is, like, getting out there, and hopefully this instills, like we were saying, the interest in show business and in theater and in the arts. But I hope it also instills an interest in history, and that, mm-hmm. you know, kids who are already sort of that persuasion where they're kind of into history and stuff will, like, pursue that more. Because I don't know. I feel like if I was a kid, like when I was a kid in 1776 was like, that was like when I was in fifth grade and we were like learning the Revolution in history class. We watched 1776, and like now future generations of kids will listen to Hamilton and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's super cool.
So piggybacking on just you loving the history part, I had read books and chapters when it comes to the Burr Hamilton. There's a great book called Founding Fathers by Joseph Ellis, which kind of takes really important sections of that time period. And the best chapter that he wrote was about the duel. And so it was like a play-by-play of what happened. So I had known that Hamilton most likely, you know, most historians believe he raises his pistol and he throws away his
pistol
shot
to the sky.
Right. So so when I heard my shot for the first time and he's saying, I'm not going to, you know,
I'm not throwing away my shot.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. And I'm like, oh, he totally does. In the end, how he dies. So I remember like having my parents listen to it and having them, I just had them listen to my shot just to blow their minds about that, because it's such a cool, such a fast song. It took Lynn a whole year to write that one song. And I kept saying, like, spoiler alert, he does throw away a shot later. And I just love that piece of, like, I knew a couple of things coming into it, and I could enjoy that in my first listen. Because, like you said, I love this part of history as do you.
Nice. Yeah. Love it. Love it. Well, thank you guys for coming on the show. This was a ton of fun.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Got the right two people in the room here to talk about this, and this was a ton of fun. And I hope that Tim is very jealous as he listens to this, because I know I would be. You guys, you listeners can find us on the internet at beerwithgeeks.com, at beerwithgeeks on Twitter. You can, of course, leave us iTunes reviews. You can find us on Stitcher. You can talk to your Amazon lady in a tube. I'm not going to say her name so I don't trigger yours, but you can talk to her and say, play Beer with Geeks from TuneIn, and it'll totally happen. We're also on the Satchel podcast player. We're basically all over the podcast universe. You can find us in all those places. You can send us emails at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. You can also go to thoughtbubbleaudio.com, where you'll find not only this show, but you'll also find Supergirl TV Talk, which is the show Tim and I do about the CW show Supergirl. And you can also find The Marketers Next Door, which is the podcast I do with my wife Marissa, where we talk about what it's like to be social media managers working in the world today. We've been putting out some More frequent episodes recently, so do check that out, Marketers Next Door. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you again for having us.
Oh, my God. It was such a pleasure. Oh, be sure to check out beerwithgeeks.com. And this episode will be at beerwithgeeks.com/153. You'll find the show notes there where there's links to the books we talked about and the podcast we referenced and all that kind of stuff. So be sure to check that out. But thank you guys again. And until next time,
cheers.